Good morning again. If you would, please take your Bibles, open them up to Titus, the book of Titus, chapter 2. When you find Titus chapter 2, we'll be in verses 3 through 5 today. Titus chapter 2. Verses 3 through 5. In honor of reading God's word, if you are able to, I'm going to ask you to stand, please. Titus 2, verses 3 through 5. The aged woman, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Dear Heavenly Father, again we come to you with praise and thank yous for all that you have given us. Today, Lord, we're going to celebrate one of the greatest blessings that you have given us, and that is good mothers, mothers that love us. When we go through your word today, Lord, we ask that you enlighten us on your plan and your purpose, so that we may understand what it is that you call us out to do. For those that are in here today, Lord, I ask a blessing upon them. They have gotten here to worship you today. Let them all remember that the focus of prayer and song and your word and scripture is to give honor and praise to you. And that is what we do. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank y'all. Please be seated. Today is the day we gather together and we give thanks to not only our own mothers, but all the mothers out there who have helped nurture us, care for us, and loved us. It is the day that we buy cards and flowers. We take our beloved caregivers out for dinner. Today is a day of remembrance, and it's a day of thanks. The Bible tells us in Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. In reference to this, Ephesians 6:2 says that this is the first commandment with a promise. Isn't it good to know that we are going to receive a blessing if we simply do those things we should do anyway? Mothers have given each of us life. The female body is truly God's greatest creation. It is actually a miracle of creation. They are designed to be able to incubate a seed and provide everything needed to grow a living body inside of themselves. This ability is in fulfillment to God's command in Genesis 1:28 when he tells Adam and Eve, God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. In order to fulfill this command, God established marriage. It says, as we go on in Scripture, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And Eve became both a mother and a wife. This was God's plan from the very beginning. When he created the earth, this was God's plan that he established. But in today's world, What we are living in today, God's plan is not celebrated. No surprise there that the world wouldn't celebrate the things of God. God's plan for women is looked down upon. It is ridiculed. The world says God's plan is demeaning to women, that God's plan is not fulfilling or substantial. A wife and a mother is demeaning to women? It's not fulfilling? It's not liberating? You see, the feminist movement has successfully influenced many women to abandon these divinely ordained roles. The role of women in God's plan is multifaceted and a deeply significant part of biblical teaching. From the creation in Genesis chapter 1 to the New Testament church, women are portrayed as integral to God's purpose. They have served in various capacities that reflect their unique contribution to His divine plan. In the creation account, women are introduced as an essential part of God's design for humanity. 1:27 Genesis states, "So God created man in His own image, in the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them." This verse underscores the equal value and dignity of both men and women as bearers of God's image because they were equally created in the image of God. As persons, as spiritual beings standing before God, men and women are absolutely equal. In the New Testament, Galatians 3:28 echoes this, that there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. Back to the creation account, God declared, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make for him a suitable helper." The term helper here does not imply or suggest inferiority, but rather denotes complementary partnership. It is the same term, ezer, by the way, is the term. It is the same term that is used throughout the Old Testament to describe God Himself as a helper to man. As we continue on in Genesis and we read about the fall in chapter 3, and it highlights the consequences of sin for both women and men, it also contains the first promise of redemption. Sin and death entered the world through Adam, but the roadmap of redemption comes through Eve. Genesis 3:15 speaks of the seed of the woman who will crush the serpent's head, foreshadowing the coming of Christ through a woman, Mary. If we were to flip through the Old Testament, we would see women play crucial roles in the unfolding of God's plan. Figures such as Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, and Rachel are pivotal in the establishment of Israel as a nation. Deborah was a prophetess and a judge and is noted for her leadership and wisdom. Esther, all right, her courage and faith were instrumental in the deliverance of the Jewish people from destruction. If we want to examine how the Bible describes an exemplary woman, we look at Proverbs 31. There, an exemplary woman are possessors of virtue, industry. They're wise. Proverbs 31:30 states, "Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a wise woman fears the Lord and is to be praised." This passage emphasizes the value of godly behavior over external attributes. But what about women in the New Testament? When we study how Jesus interacted with women, we see His words and actions are revolutionary for the time that He was in. He engages with women in ways that affirm their worth and their dignity. We all remember the Samaritan woman at the well. She became a witness to her community after her encounter with Jesus. Mary Magdalene is the first to witness the resurrected Christ and was commissioned to announce his resurrection to the disciples. Women such as Mary, the mother of Jesus, Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, are portrayed as faithful servants of God, playing vital roles in the incarnation narrative. Luke 1:38 records Mary's response to the angelic announcement that she would have a child. She responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me according to your word." The early church saw women actively participating in the spread of the gospel and the life of the Christian community. In Acts 16, it mentions Lydia, a businesswoman whose conversion and hospitality significantly supported the mission of Paul. Priscilla, along with her husband Aquila, is noted for her theological knowledge and her role in instructing Apollos. The Apostle Paul, while affirming these distinct roles within the church, acknowledges the contributions of women in ministry. In Romans 16, he commands several women, including Phoebe and Junia, all right, among the apostles. He commends them with the good, saying, "You have done good works." Look at all these examples, and we see the Bible does not discriminate against women. The Bible does not hinder women. The Bible does not place shackles on women or make them subservient to men. The godly biblical principles for women, it uplifts women, and it places them in a position of honor and respect. The Bible goes on to say, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." The Bible says women are precious. So ladies, if you want to be a godly woman, if you want to be a godly wife, if you want to be a godly mother, if you want to be worth more than rubies or gold, what should you be doing? What characteristics of these women in the Bible do we see that you should be working to attain? That is where our verses for today come in. Ladies, before you can be in the right relationship with your husband, before you can be in the right relationship with your children, before any of us can be in the right relationship with anyone, we need to be in the right relationship with God. And that relationship should be evident in one's behavior. We should see it in the behavior of a person. And here are five behaviors of a godly woman, a godly wife, and a godly mother. Number one, how does a woman display godly behavior? What is the first thing you notice about a woman? I ask you that. A godly woman always seeks to be modest in how she dresses. By contrast, the ungodly woman's clothing points to herself and her body instead of to the Father in heaven and His holiness. Remember the words of Paul in the New Testament. God emphasizes the beauty of the unseen character. The flesh flaunts the body, but God beautifies the spirit. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modesty, and discreetly, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive apparel, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. That's 1 Timothy. To understand this text, it requires careful cultural understanding. We can't compare what is written there to today and understand it in today's terms. We have to understand it in how it was written. Paul's point is not that certain dress or hairstyles are necessarily sinful, rather the message and the motives are. In the culture of Ephesus, where this letter was written to Timothy, braided hair was a luxurious status symbol. It took a lot of time to make it happen. It was very costly to make it happen. We have an equivalent of modern hairstyles today requiring significant time and cost. And those who put so much energy into hairstyles suggest their emphasis is on themselves rather than worshiping God. Paul addresses fancy clothes and flashy jewelry. These items are mentioned because the focus of using money idolizes oneself. Once again, no particular piece of jewelry or clothing is being called out as sinful. The message and effect have to be considered. Then, just as now, worship services are not intended to be treated as a prom. It's not a social event. It's not a party where women or men just as guilty in here today, all right, of self-promoting. All right? We are not to be coming to church with the idea of dress to impress one another. We come to church to worship God. These are times to worship God and focus on Him. Self-promoting clothing is not only distracting to others from the point of the church gathering, they also distract the one who is overly concerned about their own appearance. That's the first aspect of godly behavior. Number two, another aspect of godly behavior in a woman, she is always seeking to be holy in her actions. A godly woman fears the Lord. She seeks God's will over the approval of anyone else. Ladies, wives, mothers, your self-worth is not dependent upon what anybody thinks. The world says you have to act in a certain way. The world says you have to dress in a certain way. All right? The world says you may even have to do certain things to get approval of others. You see, the world has manipulated a false image that women think they must aspire to. In the desire to gain approval, bad choices are often made. A godly woman's fear of God makes her aware of the future consequences of her choices. A godly woman avoids any present situation that would be destructive in her future usefulness to God. Scripture says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were purchased for a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Honoring God does not always mean doing something. Sometimes it means not doing something. Number three, a godly woman always seeks to be truthful in her speech and motives. What does it mean to be truthful in speech and motives? Well, we know Scripture is plain in telling us that we should never lie. Lying in all its forms is a sin. Is lying what I'm talking about here? No. What I'm talking about here is trying to get others to do something that you want them to do with what is called honey-dripped language. Proverbs 7, verses 21 through 23 says, "With her many persuasions, she entices him." She entices him. Okay, we have our target in sight. We have somebody that we're going to try to entice, try to convince this person to do what we want. "With her flattering lips, she seduces him." All right, she's going to sweet talk him. Flattery, a favorite weapon. We've all been subjected to this. We've all been susceptible to this. Someone comes up to you and with flattery and says, "Have you been working out? You're looking good. Looks like you lost some weight." You know what? Looking good in that new suit, man. Looking sharp. What happens then? You see, flattery is appealing to one's vanity. Do you know how to avoid this trap? Do you know how to avoid falling into this trap? Don't be vain. That's a simple way to do it. Just don't be vain. But then what happens? What happens if a person falls into this trap? Suddenly, Suddenly he follows her as an ox goes to slaughter, as one walks in ankle bracelets in the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver, as a bird hurries to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life. What is being described here in these verses is not one of true feelings for another. It is not, she is not looking at her husband with love that blocks out all of the failings in his life. No, this is a trap. An attempt to get someone else to do as you desire. It is a trap of deception. If you want someone to do something for you, we should just be forthright. We should ask them, I need you to do this for me, please. The Bible describes a deceitful woman as an ugly woman because she is self-driven and wants her way. We just spoke about this when we talked about number two, of a godly woman's conduct. A person, any person, who thinks they need to resort to flattery has made poor choices in their life. And that has forced them into this position. You see, we have consequences to our actions. We have consequences to our choices. A godly woman should be truthful and kind in their speech. To be truthful in speech also means not to gossip. Gossip hurts people deeply. When we talk about others in a negative way, we spread information that can damage their reputation. The Bible teaches us the importance of using our words wisely. It reminds us to speak kindly and to protect one another. As followers of Christ, all of us, we should be careful about what we say and how it affects others. When you walk into a room, you immediately know who the gossipers are. It's easy to point them out, all right? One of my favorite lines a gossiper always uses is this: it's not gossip if it's the truth. I always like to follow up with this. You know, my mind slips a little bit. Exactly which verse of Scripture says that? You know, because I think I've forgotten that part. Even gossiping the truth is gossiping. There are two things that define gossip. One is intent. What is the intent of the message that a person is giving? Gossipers often have the goal of building themselves up while making others look bad and exalting themselves as some kind of repositories of knowledge. Look how smart I am. I know this about everybody. The second is the type of information that is shared. Gossipers speak of the faults and failings of others, or reveal potentially embarrassing or shameful details regarding the lives of others. Right? They do this without that person's knowledge. They do it without that other person's approval. Even if they mean no harm, even if everything they say is true, it is still gossip, especially if you were told that information in confidence. I got a secret, I got a problem, I need to tell you about it. I know I can trust you. I've got this issue, blah, blah, blah. 10 minutes after that person rings them on the phone, guess what I just found out? You're not going to believe this. The fourth behavior of a godly woman is godly women are devoted to their husbands. There's an obvious aspect of being devoted to your husband. Back in Proverbs chapter 7, it tells the story of the wife. This wife was not quite holy in her conduct. It goes like this, starting in verse 18. Come, let's drink our fill of love until morning. Let's delight ourselves with caresses. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. Well, that is an obvious neglect. That is obviously that wife was not devoted to her husband, and we're not going to address any of that today. What today we are going to speak about are other types of devotion we should be having, starting with companionship. A Christian wife should be her husband's friend. After God placed the first man, Adam, in the garden, he declared, "It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." A Christian wife doesn't need to join in all of her husband's activities, but a Christian wife should enjoy spending as much time as possible with her spouse. A Christian wife, her devotion to her husband should be evidenced in the ways she loves her husband. All Christians are commanded to love their brothers and sisters in Christ. This is especially true in marriage. When a man and a woman get married, they make a vow before God to stay together until death do them part. To be in a relationship where love is one-sided, or to be in a relationship where there is no love at all, is a great tragedy. When Christians remember how God loves them so much that He sent His Son to suffer and to die on a cross for them, this should encourage us and give us the will to love even in our most difficult of circumstances that we find ourselves in. When a Christian wife loves her husband with the love of Christ, this love can do so much to even soften the hardest of hearts. 1 Peter 3:1 describes how the love of a Christian wife may actually lead to an unrepentant husband to Jesus. A Christian wife also shows devotion to her husband by giving her husband respect. This goes hand in hand with gossiping. Talking negatively about your husband to friends or family is not devotion to your husband. Disparaging your husband in public is not a sign of respect. Remember, God has joined a man and a woman together as one, and a house divided against itself cannot stand. Paul in Ephesians 5 describes the respect wives should have for their husbands, a profound measure of reverence for somebody, he describes it. In Greek, Paul uses the word to submit as hypotasso, and it is directly related to respect. Hypotasso refers to a wife's recognition of an ordered structure in which her husband is the person to whom she should show appropriate respect, as to the Lord, it says. Peter echoed the same sentiment in 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, some Christian women wrongly believe that the word submit in Ephesians 5 means they should tolerate any kind of treatment from their husband. That is not true. If a husband directs his wife to do anything that is against her conscience, she must obey God rather than men. That is in Acts 5 and 1 Corinthians 8. A Christian wife should be completely devoted to her husband. Not only did this include being faithful in her marriage vows, but also caring for her husband physically and emotionally, praying for him, seeking his good in all things. A Christian wife should joyfully help her husband in his callings to the glory of God. She should be loyal, trustworthy, and look after the interest of her husband. When a Christian wife honors God this way, her behavior, her bearing in daily life brings honor to her husband. The fifth behavior a godly woman should have is to be devoted not only to their husband, but to their children and to the home. Just like God nurtures us with His abundant love, mothers wrap their children in warmth and care. The love they express is patient and enduring, helping us grow and thrive. We can understand a mother's actions as a reflection of God's love and the way He loves us, showing us that nurturing is an essential part of love. Mothers should possess a nurturing spirit, reflecting in how they tend to their children's needs with tenderness and devotion. When we look back at the roles of mothers, we recognize that encouragement is a vital aspect of love. A godly mother's encouraging words can uplift and inspire, providing strength during challenging moments. A mother should stand as the strongest advocate for their children, believing in them even when they doubt themselves. A mother's encouragement can have a powerful influence on a child's life. Their words can ignite courage within tiny developing hearts. The encouragement mothers often give to their children provide joy, raising their spirits, guiding them to greatness. One of the most endearing qualities of a godly mother is her instinct to protect her children. This protective nature is a powerful expression of love as mothers strive to shield their little ones from harm and hardship. They go above and beyond to ensure safety, often sacrificing their comfort and their all for their children's well-being. A mother's love embodies the protective nature that mirrors God's desire to guard and care for us. Along with being an encourager, a child's first teacher is usually the mother. This isn't because dad isn't capable, but that protective, nurturing spirit God has given to mothers allow them to better assume this role. Mothers play a pivotal role in teaching and guiding their children. This role is not just about academic lessons. It's about instilling values, life skills, and spiritual wisdom. A mother's teachings resonate through generations, shaping who we become, shaping what the family evolves into. So five behaviors of a godly wife and mother: modesty in dress, always seeking to be holy in her actions, truthful in her speech and motives, devoted to her husband, devoted to children in their homes. What a wonderful plan God has laid out. But sometimes we are often distracted from a focused purpose by daily concerns. We get worried about things around us. Mothers get worried about the problems that are affecting her children, that are affecting the household. The wives are worried about their husbands. What are we going to do? How is this going to work out? If God has placed a purpose before you, He will be faithful to grant you His provisions to progress that purpose. Hebrews 13:21 tells us that if God calls you for a special purpose, He will equip us for that purpose. God has certainly called women for a special purpose. God has equipped women with emotions, strength, and the love to be mothers. And there is nothing wrong. There is nothing demeaning. God's plan is fulfilling. God's plan should be embraced. It should be loved. Sometimes we stray from God's intended plans because of attitudes and reactions. Theologically, the role of women in God's plan is understood within the framework of complementary in mutual submission. The relationship between husband and wives draws parallel to Christ and the church, emphasizing love, respect, sacrificial service as foundational to the marital relationship. Unconditional love. Unconditional love is truly a gift that mothers give freely. This love stands firm regardless of the circumstances, embracing their children with open arms no matter what happens. It is a unique kind of love that mirrors the very love God offers to each of us, one that doesn't depend on our behavior or our achievements. No matter what happens, mom's there with open arms, ready to hold and make it right. The essence of a mother's love is one that forgives, accepts, and cherishes every moment spent together. The unconditional love that mothers have for their children teaches a valuable lesson about compassion and acceptance. Today we will celebrate the wives and the mothers in our lives. And as we do, let us love them as they have loved us. Let us care for them as they have cared for us. Let us honor them as God has instructed us to do. I'm not telling anybody in this room anything that they don't already know. Being a mother is a hard job. Being a mother is a difficult job. Scripture lays out the aspects of being a godly mother. Those are very high standards that the Bible has to be a godly mother, to be a godly wife. But let us not forget what Hebrews says, that God provides you with everything you need to accomplish the goal He has set before you. That is the wonderful thing about our Heavenly Father, that He does care for us so much that He provides everything that you need. Not everything you want, but everything you need to accomplish the goal that He has given you. We are all here because of our mothers. There's no doubt about that. The love that they have shown us, the care, raising us, teaching us, shining the light on the path that we should go, gently encouraging us as we go down the wrong path sometime to get back on it. A godly mother is truly a blessing from God Himself. Something that is cherished, should be cherished far above gold and rubies. For every mother in here today, thank you for what you have done for your family. Thank you for being that anchor point in the storm that keeps everybody safe. Moms, thank you for doing without so that the children can have what they need. Thank you for those nights of worry, late night prayers, wondering where the children are, what they're doing, are they safe? There is a special blessing in being a godly wife and mother. And today, thank you for it and enjoy that day and remember what it is. Musicians are going to come and we're going to close. They're going to sing a song and we're going to go forward. If you are fortunate enough to be here with your parent, with your mom, I'm sure she is extremely happy with the fact that you are here today. If you, like me, have to make that phone call later and tell mom, happy Mother's Day, love you and I miss you, don't forget to call. Remember, the scripture laid out everything. I want you to remember what your mother has done for you to be a godly mother. That standard that she's had to live up to. So make sure you express that love as God loves you, as she loves you, to return that love. When you get mothers, as you go to leave today, we have a small gift for you out there, if you would like. My wife is out there. She has a basket for you, different stuff in there for you. So enjoy it. Something small just to say thank you for the love that you have shown each and every one of us. Thank you for all that you have done.